case. Mr. Abel.
Good morning, Your Honor. This case and the appeal which results from it is actually, this is the second time it's come up here. First time it came up after a plea, and then it went back for retrial. Mr. Gibson tried the case himself, pro se, and I was assigned...
You got a heavier sentence?
Pardon?
Is this case where you got a heavier sentence?
Yes, he got...
Next time, what? You're looking forward to another...
Well, I'm hoping that this court will maybe reduce his sentence a little bit from what we've argued here, Your Honor.
Isn't the problem here that the statute of limitations surely was told while he was in Belize?
Well, but he was arrested, I believe, in May of 01, Your Honor. So even if it was told during the time he was in Belize, I still think that the statute may have run. And the reason for that is that when they entered into the plea agreement back in April of 02, that there was no reservation in that plea agreement for these charges to be brought back.
So, what's the exact date of his departure for Belize?
I believe that he would have departed for Belize. The indictment here was 1-10-01, the original indictment. I think that he had departed for Belize prior to that.
Well, no, we can't just say prior.
This is not a matter in which you should be saying, I think, I believe, etc. You should know exactly what the interval is. Now, what is the interval if you just subtract the time that he was in Belize?
Well, from the time of the... What I would go by, Judge, is from the time that he's indicted. From 1-10-01 when he's indicted, and he's arrested in May of 01. So there would have been an intervening time period there of... it would appear to be 4 or 5 months, Your Honor.
Now, see, you've got a superseding indictment on October 18th of 01.
That's correct.
He pleads guilty on January 8th, 02. Factoring in the time that he spent in Belize, the statute of limitations on counts 2, 3, and 5 had not yet run at the time 3296 became effective. So what's the ex post facto problem?
Well, actually, the 11-2-0-2, well, for one thing, what I believe happened is, first off, the let me start again. I do not believe, my position in the briefs on this was that from the time that he had pled, which was 4-15-02, that was not reserved by the government at that time. Now, the tolling statute, I would agree with you that it tolls it for the individual to be brought in. Clearly, if they issue an indictment and the statute is not run prior to the indictment, he runs off, the statute's going to be told during that period of time. But I believe that by virtue of the fact that they did not reserve their right in the 4-15-02 plea agreement, that's really what governed here.
Well, who reserves rights about statutes of limitations?
I believe that that's something in the plea agreement. As I read the case law, the plea agreement should contain a provision that says that these are reserved, or at least I think that's what the Midgley case says, that these should be reserved in the plea agreement. And by not reserving it in the plea agreement, even though I agree with you, they could arrest him in Belize after the statute had run, that because of the plea agreement not having that reservation in it, that that tolling would be ineffective to keep the statute from running at that time, because I don't believe that it tolls it the whole way.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That once you hit that, where that plea agreement was entered, that without the reservation of rights, the statute continues to run at that time.
Even though he's in Belize?
Well, he wasn't in Belize the whole time, Your Honor. He was arrested, as I say, about 4 months after the indictment was issued.
But you know something? Even if you're correct that there's a statute of limitations problem with those three counts, couldn't he still receive the same sentence based on his convictions on all the other counts?
Essentially, what the judge did in this case was he ran all the sentences consecutive. And what I think would happen is that he had five-year sentences on each one, two, three, and five, and that those would be subtracted from the 40-year sentence.
Yeah, but we could send it back and vacate all the sentences, and then he'd be free to give him whatever sentence he wanted.
Well, which is what he ended up with, was he ended up with what the maximum possible punishment would have been.
How old is he?
Mr. Gibson now, I believe, is 62.
62.
Mm-hmm.
And the sentence now is 480 months.
Yes.
And the sentence before that was 294 months?
That would be correct. It would be 22 and a half years.
22 and a half years. He's how old?
He is 62.
62.
So he's done 5 years, I believe, roughly now. Because I believe he went in when he was 57.
So the 480 months is a life sentence.
480 would be a life sentence. Yeah. If you subtracted the 15 years from it, it would maybe ameliorate that somewhat, but certainly the 480 would be a life sentence.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Abel. Mr. Smith?
Good morning. May it please the Court. Norm Smith on behalf of the United States. Initially, let me point out that I did note an error in the government's brief when I was reviewing this last night. It does not go or detract from the merits of the brief. But on page 21, footnote 2, I noted that count 7 in the brief was a 20-year statutory maximum. Under 18 U.S.C. 1956, that ordinarily would be correct, but under 1956H, being a conspiracy, what was charged in count 7 of the indictment was, in fact, a conspiracy to violate 1957, which actually becomes a 10-year sentence. So to address your question, the 480-month sentence is, in fact, a total of all the statutory maximums for the seven counts of the indictment. But really, it struck me that the battle that wins the war is 18 U.S.C. Section 3290, that no statute of limitations shall extend to a person fleeing from justice. Your question, Your Honor, regarding when did he flee? Well, the evidence in the record was that he originally left with his wife in April of 1999.
That's when he got citizenship.
Correct. That's when they paid the $55,000 and got Belizean citizenship. He, however, unbeknownst to the government, came back after that point in time, wire transferred about $3.5 million of victim trust funds, told his boat captain to sail his yacht down to Belize, and in fact, the record from his own mouth establishes that he left in June to July of 1999.
July 1999.
And in fact, Marjorie Gibson, his wife, testified that, in fact, she was afraid of being stopped by the police on leaving the country. So they clearly knew from that fact, from what their attorney told them at the time, and from the fact that they had already received a federal grand jury subpoena for SBU, that they were under criminal investigation. From James Gibson's own mouth, he said after he got back, when he told postal inspectors, basically a confession, that he fled to Belize in order to wait out the investigation.
So that's a 22-month period that he was in Belize?
Well, it's either 18 to 22, whether you count the April or you count the June or July. But basically,
From July.
That would actually be, counting last night, it's 18 months.
So, no, look. If he comes back to the United States in July of 99, he's in U.S. waters, right?
That he, in fact, came back sometime between May and June or July and left again for good until his arrest.
In July?
Yeah.
So you've got 21 months in Belize.
Okay.
Your brief said 22 months.
I was actually, it may sound silly, I was in my hotel room counting on my fingers last night. It should be obvious, but at any rate.
Is there any other issue, if we agree with you that all his time in Belize has to be subtracted, is there any other issue that we have to decide?
No, Your Honor. The only issue I could see is if you don't count 3290, you ignore that argument, and you only look at when 3296 was enacted, that to me looks like on count five that it would be 5 years and 12 days. It would be slightly over the 365. Counts three and two don't matter. They're clearly within the five-year statute.
Count five, if we subtract Belize, you still...
Oh, it's easily within the statute of limitations. Not
an
argument.
Do you have any idea why the government in the original plea agreement agreed to dismiss counts 2 to 8 and retain only the conspiracy count?
That's old skeletons, Your Honor, but I was not the prosecutor on it then. In fact, I was the supervisor, so I'm equally accountable for that guffaw. In fact, if you recall that at that point in time, the conspiracy under 1349 for mail fraud and wire fraud had raised up to 20 years. I think there was a mental confusing 371 with 18 U.S.C. 1349 is the best way I could account for that.
It took a long time to catch it.
And fortunately, he decided to roll the dice again.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Mr. Smith. Mr. Abel, your time expired, but if you have something more.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say, Your Honor, is that... So I'd say he was indeed indicted on, in January of 2001. And whether it's 22 months in Belize or what, prior to that time, he was actually indicted at that time. And that I think that any Belize time that he might have spent, the way that it should be counted is really just between that January date and the date in May when he was arrested.
Why?
Because that's when he was actually indicted by the government, when he was actually informed.
But he's hiding.
But he's hiding.
He's hiding.
But, as I say, he was. If he would have been charged in 99, clearly I think he would have been subject to that.
Where is Mrs.?
Mrs. Gibson is out of prison, yes. She's living in Florida, I believe.
Can you just remind me of her sentence?
Mrs. Gibson, I'm not really sure. She got 2 years, Norman. Is that right? I don't remember for sure. Yeah, I don't remember for sure, but she did not get a very long term. It was a couple of years.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Abel. You were appointed, were you not?
Yes.
Okay, so we thank you for accepting the appointment.